Awesome. Well, yeah, the Lord has just been, I mean, this has been kind of a lifelong message in my heart, and some of you know this. The title that I've given this morning is The Unity of the Wise and the Zealous. And, you know, as we all know, there's been a tension between the young and the old, and that has been as old as time. There, for some reason, you know, you just go through generations and generations, and those young people don't know what it's like for, you know, such and such. So I looked up a few quotes to start out with, just to kind of set the stage. So Aristotle in the 4th century said, "Young people are high-minded because they have not yet been humbled by life, nor have they experienced the force of circumstances. They think they know everything and are always quite sure about it." It sounds, I mean, that could be a quote from today, you know? and then later on, out of the wise man's forecast against the evil time by Thomas Barnes in 1624, youth were never more saucy. Yay, never more saucy. The ancient are scorned and the honorable are condemned. The magistrate is not dreaded, talking about, you know, the authorities of the time. And then later on, by Reverend Enos Hitchcock, the free access which many young people have to romances, novels, and plays has poisoned the mind and corrupted the morals of many a promising youth. And so this generation today, we haven't stumbled across a new battle of waging war within ourselves, and trying to, you know, for you guys, older people, telling us what's proper and right to do as the younger generation. You know, the plays and novels that Reverend Hitchcock talked about, those have turned into social media, and they've turned into movies and things that we consume. I mean, it's not changed. It's the same song, just a different time. The lack of respect of authority has been an undercurrent since the literal beginning of time. And so this bait of offense that Satan puts before us to be offended at the old people that don't understand what us young people are going through, or, you know, the young people not understanding the hard work that's needed. And I'm sure we've all heard those different quotes about the stubborn old people stuck in their ways, or the young people that are lazy and haven't seen what life is like. And the root issue and the fact of the matter is, what it comes down to is that we are in a desperate need for unity. And the Lord longs for us to seek the complexities of his heart, and to not fall into this scornfulness or quips with one another. And you could almost flip this around. It's not even a generational thing. This is across the board. Of different tribes, of the racial inequality that we're seeing, whether you believe it or not, you know, the political parties warring against each other, there's a unity that is needed in this nation, and it has to start somewhere. Someone has to make the first move and say, okay, it stops with me. And we're probably going to deal with it the next generation and the next generation, but what would it look like if we set the stage for this generation to be unified? In Proverbs 1, in verse 22 through 23, it says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you." All right. So I want to start out by saying, that we really do live in an amazing community. And so what I'm going to talk about today, when I'm going to talk about the gray hairs, when I'm going to talk about the young whippersnappers, this is out of a place of love. This is out of a place of encouragement. In all of my travels and different churches I've been a part of, I've never encountered a community that is so diversified in age as we have here, especially in Restoration Fellowship, but in this community. And so that is a gift that we need to take advantage of more than ever. And we've seen glimpses of that in the past of us really taking hold of that gift. But that's where this is coming from. And there is a rejuvenation and a healing that needs to happen for us to move into the next season, for us to move into what the Lord has for us next, or even now in the fullness. So I'm going to talk to what I'm calling the wise or the gray hairs, so the older people for a second. So Proverbs 20:29 says, "The glory of a young man is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head." And I put in my notes here, I am very glad that hair is not a prerequisite to wisdom, because a lot of the wise people I've known in my life are bald. And so I'm really grateful for those men. So, and this goes without saying, but men and women, I'm talking to you both in your wisdom. So just an exhortation that you are wise, that you have something to offer, even if you don't feel like you do, or if you're new in Christianity or just encountering the Lord, there are life experiences that you have that give you something that we need as young people. You have a value. And that you have reached this place or a certain age that doesn't give you the ability to retire just because you have reached a season in your life where I've done all the things, I know all this, I'm done. Like, I'm just gonna sit here and be okay with myself, with my wisdom, with my family, and that's it. There's so much more. You have a deep well of knowledge and wisdom that has come from just being alive. And again, some of it's useful, some of it's not, but you have it, and you have a lot more of it than I do. And so that's something that you can't just keep to yourself. You have to give it away in some form and fashion, and that comes through an encounter with the Lord and understanding what is useful and what is not useful in order to give that away. Because you guys, and us all, we are eternal beings. And so you've reached a certain point, but as a 70-year-old, 80-year-old, 50-year-old person, that's such a speck in eternity. So you've just started. You haven't even begun to start. But, you know, in the concept of what we are living on earth, yeah, you're old, ish, depending on who you are. But you have just begun this eternal walk with the Lord to encounter who he is, the deep secrets of the Lord, the wisdom and the knowledge that he holds in his heart is an eternal pursuit that we're all on, and we've just begun. And so for you guys, it's to help the next generation come up so that they can start where you are now. And then the next generation can grab and come up, and so that we can exponentially grow our eternal relationship with the Lord, because we're working off of each other's experiences and knowledge instead of just waiting to figure it out for ourselves, which there's definitely time and place for that. But let's try to eliminate that as much as possible. Over the years, Breezy and I, we love to travel. I've mentioned it a couple times, but our favorite things to do is to go to different missionaries and just spend a week or two with them, do whatever we can, help out, take them to dinner, clean and cook around the house. And we've sat down with several couples that have just, there's an increasing frustration that is kind of a consistent across the board of, I can't find young people that will take on my vision. I can't find people who are willing to be discipled by me to take my work and go on to the next. And which is, that is very frustrating. And I definitely want to acknowledge that. But I feel like the perspective is just a little bit off. There was one couple in particular that we spent a couple weeks with. And one night at dinner, it just the same old, you know, conversation of just that increasing frustration. And a question was proposed to the husband. And I said, are you more interested in raising up, I said, little you, or are you more interested in raising up young people that look like Jesus? And he was just, he just leaned back in his chair and he was just almost appalled that I would ask something like that. And then he really started to think about it. And what it came down to was he was really after someone that looked like him to carry on his vision and his legacy more than the legacy of Jesus. He was more interested in pouring out the practicals that he has raised up instead of the practicals of Christ that was through him in this work. So there's obviously some pride connected to that, but that's just a human nature. You know, you think about the Maslow's hierarchy pyramid. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but at the pinnacle of that hierarchy, it talks about basically making a legacy known. That's, you know, you've made all the money, you've done all the things, you've built the stuff, and now you just want a legacy. That's why you see a lot of hospitals with, you know, rich guys' names on them. That's what they're after. After they've reached the pinnacle, all they want is, I got to carry on my legacy because that's all I have left. And so that's a very real thing that we deal with as humans. But that eternal perspective that we have to shift in who we are to encounter what is true and what is right to carry on. Is it more important for me and this message that I'm talking about today to be known 50 years from now? Or is it more important for my legacy to be Jesus? That he is the one that's filtering through me and you to encounter the ones around us. And so what this means is that for you guys, the wise, it's time for yourself to be melt away and to allow the Lord to seep in and to walk in the fear of the Lord. The beginning of Proverbs 1 speaks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and being more concerned with the heart of the Father and his desire than our kingdoms and our passions, our desires, our wills, our ambitions. And this is where I have seen the gray hair's pride melt, and the humility that comes from the fear of the Lord allows a knowledge to become wisdom, because there's some practical knowledge. There's things that are known. In order to build a house, you need this. But that can become wisdom. Sometimes it's not time to build the house. There are times and there are seasons. Don't start in the rain. Don't start at midnight. And so there's this marriage that happens, that it comes from the Lord. All right, so now this is the early service, so there's not a lot of young people. So I'm going to talk to the very, the few. Yeah, all right. So to the zealous, I'm going to start out with Proverbs 2, 1 through 7. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, and I guess I should set up the stage. I'm sure this is common knowledge, but this is actually Solomon recounting times that he walked with Daniel, his father, and in recounting his words that was spoken to him. So this is Daniel talking to Solomon. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding, and he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. And so this idea behind wisdom and knowledge being a treasure is so fascinating to me. Because you kind of shift your mind out of like a meandering happenstance to encountering wisdom and knowledge to a fervent desire that you have to have it more than anything. There was a story in the news the last couple of weeks. This gentleman hid some treasure up north a little bit. It's like $1 million worth of treasure, and I don't know how many years people were trying to search for it, but just the stories of, you know, people just, you know, how many rescues had to be made out of that forest because people just lost their way, but they were so zealous that it was even unto death that they would pursue worldly treasure of $1 million, and it was the passion behind the excitement of the journey. And so comparing pursuing knowledge and wisdom to a treasure hunt, really just puts that into a perfect perspective of that you need that more than anything. When you have that eye for a treasure, you're going to seek it with everything that you have. You're going to risk death and humility to get that wisdom and knowledge, that it's like silver and hidden treasures. I mean, that's so cool. And this particular verse has driven me. I remember I was in my early teens reading this and just understanding that I had a long ways to go. I was still a know-it-all little turd, you know, growing up. But that there was this underlying desire that I needed something more. And a lot of you guys here had saw me in that transition and are seeing me in that transition even now. But different fathers and mothers had come into my life over the last, you know, couple decades. And this was really instilled by my parents that that they were more concerned with me finding my way with the Lord than they were for finding my way of them, of who they were. And so I can remember, you know, my dad was, we moved here in 2001 to take over what's now Crossroads Church. It was a little Southern Baptist church called Mountain Heights back then. And so we moved here and just kind of walked through that journey. We'd been a part of a Southern Baptist church, but it was a little more radical than maybe we thought at the time. And so we got there, and the first 5 years were just kind of rough. You know, it was the hymn reading and the, you know, the whole nine yards. Great, great time, great people. But there was a moment where my dad, in pursuing knowledge and pursuing wisdom, he encountered the fear of the Lord, if you will. And what that produced was encountering the Holy Spirit. And so that was a huge no-no in the Southern Baptist Church, probably still is. And so just the people he started associating with, the fathers that he brought into his life, the brothers he brought into his life, Al was a huge part of that moment in my dad's walk. And ended up, you know, the elders met and said, hey, this is not going to work for us. Just theologically, we are way, way off. And so he agreed that it was best for us to move on. So during that transition, I actually got connected here. That was the first time the youth group moved over. Our youth group pastor was BJ, and the last youth pastor, I forgot who was on then. Jeff, yeah, that's right. Jeff suddenly moved away. And so we kind of joined youth groups here, and I just kind of got all in with the children's church because I was like, yeah, well, my dad and Al, they're best buds. They're going to end up here. And so my dad went on a three-month sabbatical, and so we, the family was coming here, and I was just, I committed all in. And he got back, and he said, I can't go here. The Lord's calling me to reach out to the ranchers and the cowboys in the community. And that's when Cowboy Church was started. And so I was like, oh my gosh, well, what do I do? Like I committed to all these things. I got to be there on Sunday morning. And so I sat down with my dad. I was, I think 14 at the time. I said, Dad, what do you want me to do? I want to honor you. I'll do whatever you say. And he looks at me and he said, sorry guys. This, for those who've heard me speak, this is not an uncommon thing. And so he looks at me and he said that. He said, I care more about you encountering the Lord on your own than for you to be where I'm at. And all he asked me that anytime he needed me that I would be there. And so that was our agreement. So that's what started it. And so then, you know, Al was a big portion of my life. That was kind of my first external father. And so just sitting under him and his teaching, and there was other fathers in this church, you know, Ben and the both the Thompsons, I'll say, fathers and mothers and the Loves, and there's so many fathers and mothers sitting in this room. And And I realized that there was a need for me to pursue. It wasn't that I waited around and these men made themselves available, these women made themselves available, but there was a pursuit that needed to happen. And we'll get into that a little bit more. So what this produced in me, it was the first glimpse of humility that I encountered from my dad in this way, as far as this relationship is concerned. And what I realized was that humility leads to encounter. It leads to not only encounter of one another, but it also leads to encounter with the Lord. And so, going back to the zealous, so pursue the wise. Find men and women that have something that you want and pursue it with everything you have. And it does, this breeds humility, because all of a sudden you're admitting that us as young people, we don't have all the answers, which I don't know how this works, but just every year that I get older, the less I know. And I truly believe this is why Proverbs 2, wisdom, leads to understanding the fear of the Lord and knowing that all knowledge comes from Him. So in Proverbs 20:29, it speaks of the glory of the young men or women, and that's their strength or vigor or zeal, depending on what, you know, how you look at that word. This is where the saying, the youth is wasted on the young, is just, it's like a light bulb. It's like, yes, of course, it's totally wasted on the young. Because wouldn't it be nice to grab all the wisdom and get your younger body, to get the zeal back, to get the drive back, and be where you are today? You know, my knees are starting to feel a little bit worse than they used to. And so, you know, hiking up 14ers now and 5 years ago, it's like, what? How is this happening? And I can see where people start to understand. It's like, man, I wish that I could do this again. And this room is way different because you guys are awesome and pursue things and go at it, work through the pain. And so I appreciate you guys. And so what this is, and in the concept of like a relationship. So when we pursue relationship, and this is just going back to, okay, how do we get this wisdom and this zeal combined? It holds no regret when we're doing that. There's a lot of things when you get to the end of your life, man, I wish I spent more time with my family. I wish I did this. It's never those things that feel important in the matter. I wish I ate that one more piece of broccoli. Darn it. You know? It's about building relationship, and that holds no regret when it's in the Lord, because that is an eternal pursuit. Relationship building is an eternal pursuit that is worth more than anything. It's worth more than going to an hour at the gym, which that's very important. It's worth more than taking that little extra time to get your meal prep right so that you can get your work done and da-da-da. All of that is worth nothing if we're not encountering each other in the Lord. Because that unity is so, I don't have time for another relationship. Then evaluate your life and make sure that you can make room to encounter people, zealous ones. Make room in your schedule to take fathers and mothers to coffee, to make dinner and just encounter. Ask the questions that you've been longing to know. So how do we get here? So Malachi 4:6, you know, last verse in the Old Testament of our modern Bible. It's talking about a lot of things. It goes through the fear of the Lord. And he in this scenario is Elijah, but and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And so at the end of all of these items in the end times, we've talked a lot about Revelation, we've talked a lot about these things, But one of the signs of the end of the time and the return of the Lord is that there's going to be unity within a generation, that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the kids and the kids to the fathers. And I've seen a glimpse of why this is so important and why this is placed where it is in the Old Testament. And I don't think that was by accident. When there's a unified generation, meaning from babies to the great grandparents, that there is no other option but for the Lord to move mightily. And so I'll tell you a story about, since Ben's sitting right here, I'll say a story about Ben. Back in, I was 18, and just about to graduate from high school, and there's a lot of young people here kind of in that same stage of life, about to graduate, just graduated, and there was no place. Like, youth group was kind of becoming a little too maybe childish for us, and you know, there was really no groups to get involved with as an older, and so we're like, man, we need something, and we need somebody to help. And so there was a gentleman here, and we said, hey, would you want to, he was an old, he's, I don't know, 50 maybe, and would you want to meet, lead a group of us young people? We're just want to, you know, get together, read the word, worship, but we feel like, you know, we don't want to necessarily lead it ourselves. And so he said yes, and that went fairly well for a few months, and then all of a sudden, around Christmas, he just up and left, and didn't tell nobody, just left town. And so we showed up to his house, and we didn't know this, and the house was empty. We're like, what is happening? Like, we're supposed to meet tonight. And so we're all there, you know, Ryan was there, and I think Luke, Macaulay, and some of us like that. And so we're like, well, shoot. And so we're like, all right, who's the wisest guy we know? Ben Franklin. So we called up Ben Franklin, and it wasn't really a question. It was more of like, hey, we need a leader. We're coming over. And so we did. So we just started meeting on Friday nights, and we just came over, and it was real simple. We ate food, and we just asked questions, or he would propose a question, and we would talk about the deep things of the Lord. And Ben was really into mountain biking then, and but I had seen there was a dissolve of that unity of passion for him, but that he was real, you know, he was all about passion then. But there was a difference in what I saw grow in him and Linda when we pursued them as fathers and mothers than what was before. There was something that came alive in Ben and Linda as they were telling us and sharing their wisdom. They were getting infused with zeal. They were getting infused, and this is just from my perspective. You could be totally different story on your end, but there was an infusion that I saw happen from our end that gave us hope that, okay, older people, they're not just crockety and sitting there wanting to, you know, do the bah humbug thing. They want to get involved. They want to have that zeal again. They want to utilize their wisdom for more. And so the camping trips and the crazy times late at night that we would, you know, make up songs around the campfire or do all these things, that was such an amazing season because we saw such fruit in young men and women that didn't have that in their lives. And I'm, you know, most of us were very fortunate to have fathers and mothers that loved and cherished and pursued us, but some of those kids didn't. And so we saw this raising up of ones that were fatherless and motherless, and then we saw the fathers and mothers getting zeal again. Not only for us as kids, but the renewed passion for the word, the renewed pursuit for worship and praising Jesus. So there's something behind this. There's something behind pursuing wisdom. Wisdom begets strength, and that's for both sides, the strength of the young and the strength of the old. And so how do we get to this place? It's not waiting for Elijah to appear and for the end times to come, and then we're, you know, then we're going to be unified, and it's all going to be hunky-dory. It has to start with us as young people pursuing fathers and mothers. Fathers and mothers attract sons and daughters. So your portion of this, you have to situate yourself as fathers and mothers. And you might ask what that means. And I think what it looks like to me is being available, not being turned off by a crying kid. We're in it, man. We got crying babies. It's not being turned off by that. It's saying, "Hey, I want to embrace the chaos with you. I want to share what I have for when I had young kids or for when I had young nieces and nephews." And I said it before, but young people, we have this issue with pride. I think all of us do, but specifically young people, with this pride issue that, you know, we got it all, we know it all. And so when you see, talking to fathers and mothers, when you see that breakout of asking for help, sometimes it'll look like maybe not a direct question, him hawing around it. You guys know what's happening. Grab hold of that simple yes and have a yes yourself. Say, "Great, let's schedule time." That's one thing that if you've ever tried to schedule coffee with me, it's, "Hey, we should get coffee." I whip out my phone right away. "Great, when are we doing it?" Get in that habit of immediately, don't talk about it. It's, "Hey, I would love to grab time with you. When can we do it?" It's immediate. And that response is immediate. And that's such a eternal foundation of immediate obedience with the Lord. That's what he asks for. So why not practice that within each other? I'm telling you guys, this type of thing produces eternal fruit. And once we understand this need more than ourselves, we start to grow, us young people. And again, talking about y'all's ceiling as the fathers and mothers, and mothers becoming our footstool, and then we can grow, and then the next generation will be their ceiling, or our ceiling will be their footstool, and we can just keep on growing exponentially. So sometimes what this looks like, again, positioning yourself as fathers and mothers, sometimes that looks like you guys being the first step, making the first move. And so this isn't just always the young people have to pursue it. There's been a lot of people in my life that have made the first move of, "Hey, I'd love to grab coffee with you and share." But that is also, I want to warn you on that, that is a turnoff. We were talking amongst ourselves in our life group a couple weeks back about this idea of like, "Hey, what would you guys say if somebody randomly walked up to you and said, 'Hey, I want to mentor you.'" Ugh. I don't know if I want you to mentor me. Well, wait, have you thought about that? You know, and we were talking about stories where, you know, like a 25-year-old when we were 19 would be like, "Hey, I want to mentor you guys." Yeah, no thanks. No thank you. And so there's this, again, it's that pride issue that all of a sudden seizes everything up when someone's offering to give you something that was unsolicited. But sometimes opening the door will help do that. And so just a warning in that, but another thing that it could look like as far as you guys making the first move is also modeling what that looks like. And so I wrote in here, and I want you to get offended if this is you. If there is a little bit of offense, you know, go to the Lord on this. But get off your phone. Get off Facebook. Pick up a book and show us what it looks like to be one that continues to pursue wisdom on your own. That's something that has been more recent in my life of just reading. And again, going back to Ben, that was one thing that I really, I got a passion for when I saw, you know, Ben reading books, and he would always throw out these big, large words that I'm like, "I don't know what that means. I need to know more about this." And so, you know, my goal every single year has been to read more and more and more books. And I was looking back through how many books I have consumed this year on various topics. And I was just floored writing this. It's like, this has seeped in to who I do not have the patience to sit and read a book. Like I can barely get through my Bible time. And, but that pursuit has been modeled in front of me, and I've been able to grab hold of that. And so the last thing I'm going to talk about as far as you guys is maybe a little controversial, but I really believe that retirement is a lie from Satan to remove you from injecting wisdom into your generation. You're like, what? I've done my time. I went through. I did what I was supposed to do. I'm done. But no, this is, you have just started. You are more needed today than you were 20 years ago. And you're going to be more needed tomorrow than you are today because you're growing in wisdom, and you need to release that to the young people. You need to encounter where they are. A zealous and wise people are a danger to the plans of the enemy. In Acts 2:17, it quotes a verse out of Joel 2. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Visions and dreams. Young people have dreams of the future and what their life will be like. The implication of old men dreaming is that they are not finished with their assignment. They have a renewed vigor for life to encounter what the Lord wants to do with their life. This is so important because it leads the charge in encountering the heart of the Father. And the heart of the Father is the source of identity. And for vision, without vision, the people will perish. And vision without wisdom is merely a dream. And this is the foundation of the whole idea that our identity is rooted in the Father. And so after I got done writing these notes and sent them off to Meg, and she did a great job of fixing all my spelling errors, I was reading in 1 Corinthians, and this isn't in your notes, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 6 through 16, we'll just read that. All right, starting in verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And so it goes on and on and on. And so what this is talking about is spiritual wisdom, the deep things of God. And I believe that there are spiritual disciplines. Justin talked a little bit about a couple weeks ago that encompass some of these things, is the four activities that Jesus was speaking of. There are certain things that are disciplines, that we pray, that we fast, that we get into the Word wholeheartedly, that we unify ourselves with community and family. And that can help pave the way to spiritual wisdom. But the fact of the matter is that we cannot accomplish this unity alone. And I believe that, you know, going back to, there's worldly wisdom that you just live through your life and knowledge, and then there's spiritual wisdom. But the worldly wisdom, you might ask, well, what's the point of pursuing it? I wholeheartedly believe that when we pursue wisdom, no matter what it is, if we pursue wisdom, it will lead to encountering the Lord. If your heart is in the right place. I've been, you know, on this pursuit of getting mentors in my life in the business realm, in the finance realm. I remember the first one that I had was Bob Bigelow, and just how much wisdom he poured into me about closed-end bonds and how to get a good budget and all how to evaluate a company properly. And that was the start of having wisdom infused in me outside of school and outside of the church, just in just a true sense of the matter of wisdom. And as I've been pursuing that and taking time to meet with even secular men and women, and you know, it was a couple weeks ago, I asked Breezy, I said, is this okay? Like, am I supposed to feel bad about pursuing these men? And then I started getting into the word, and even in Proverbs, it talks about wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. And then it talks about the Lord's wisdom. It talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And so there's no way for us to get through this without encountering this. But there is a place for the spiritual wisdom. And so to wrap up, know that worldly wisdom will only lead so far. And the lens of the Spirit and the Father are imperative. So when we're pursuing that, when we're pursuing each other, we have to have this lens of the Spirit. When the Spirit moves, it always supersedes that which was previously held as wisdom. And so what was known before, and when the Spirit encounters, it can change just like that. So I believe we are coming to the edge of a precipice on this topic of this unity of the wise and the zealous. And what is on the other side is a unity of the body of Christ and encountering the Trinity in its fullness. Allow pride to slough off. Allow others in to your life. Open that door for community. And so what this looks like practically, guys, life group. Get together with other life groups. Find a young, crazy, I mean, we have 12 kids under 6 right now in our life group. Embrace that chaos or get a babysitter, but encounter each other in very practical ways. When a young person comes up to you and asks you for coffee, get it on the schedule right away. Or dinner, get it on the schedule right away and pursue. And if they don't pursue you, don't feel bad. This isn't a less than. It's you need to increase your position as a father and a mother to just be there. Because that's, at the end of the day, we're all pursuing the same thing. It's being like Jesus. Pursue wisdom and embrace zeal. The Spirit is longing to overwhelm us, but we need each other for that. Let us encounter each other. Sacrifice time, sacrifice the things of this world so that we can pursue what is good and right together in unity. And this is an eternal pursuit. It's not just a temporal one. So that's what I got, guys. And I'm very passionate about this. I'm passionate about us encountering each other in community in a multi-generational format. And sometimes that doesn't work out for every single week to have a multi-generational format. That's okay. But let's try more to pursue each other and to encounter each other in wisdom. And my heart is that I would have a fear of the Lord, that I would have to be able to be poor in spirit like Jesus is poor in spirit through this thing, to know that I need you as the wise a lot more than my own wisdom. So Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that your heart is for us. Father, we thank you that you've hidden the secrets of your heart within relationships of others. We thank you that you've given us the Spirit to seek the secret things of your heart. Father, would you take our pride away? Would you instill humility in the depths of who we are? Father, would you increase the identity that you're speaking towards us, that we would have ears to hear that. In Jesus' name. Guys, thanks so much. Love you guys.
Good. So we want to encourage you guys on your way out. Visit the table back there. We'll encourage you to head back there and